Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes, but every day, 7 days a week. Keeping us in God's Word and thereby under the teachings of the Scriptures. And that is the basis for developing and then growing and staying strong in our faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Help people in your life grow in their faith by sharing these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. Help them come closer to God. Help them ultimately get to heaven. What a great blessing that would be for them, but also for you. So make that commitment and start sharing today with everybody you can. We're going to bring to conclusion our line of thought and study. We're asking the question, how can I keep from falling? Well, we've used the illustrations of falling physically and how dangerous that can be, how debilitating. In some cases, it can really end up taking our physical lives. But those are just comparative illustrations to what we're really talking about. We don't want to fall from our salvation once we become faithful, dedicated, saved Christians. We don't want to fall from God's grace. Now, as I said, there are a whole lot of churches out there that are teaching people that, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're in God's grace, you can't fall from God's grace. But the Scriptures teach something exactly the opposite. The Scriptures teach us that we need to be diligent and steadfast in our faithfulness and in our faith so that we do not fall away from God. And we've looked at a number of Scriptures that say exactly that. Galatians 5 and verse 4 is kind of a base text for this study. And here Paul is talking to Christians, and he says, you have become, now they were being tempted to go down into a pathway of false teaching. And he's warning them, if you go down that pathway, if you start taking up that false teaching, then he says, and he speaks in the past tense as though it has already happened, you have become estranged from Christ. That means separated from Christ, cut off from Christ. Now, you cannot be separated from something that you are not already in the sense in which Paul uses this language here. So he's talking to Christians in Galatia, and he says, if you do this, you will have become estranged, cut off, separated from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Did you get that? Fallen from grace. The Apostle Peter also wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, warning the Christians, admonishing them to whom he was writing this particular letter. He said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. We've really looked at scripture text after scripture text after scripture text after scripture text that lay out the principle that we need to be steadfast in our faith and faithfulness to avoid falling away. Again, why do we read such verses of Scripture, such statements, such admonitions as what Jesus said at the end of Revelation 2 and verse 10, when he said, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. If there was no way to fall from our saved state, if there was no way to fall from being in God's grace, if we were to go off into sinfulness, then why would he say, stay faithful, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life? The whole statement is conditional. The crown of life representing eternal life in heaven, it's conditional upon our staying faithful, be faithful until death. But again, we looked at so many different scripture texts that get across this same principle. Now, we've asked the question, how can I keep from falling? How can I keep from falling away from faithfulness? Well, we need to make sure that when we become a Christian, when we're baptized into Christ, that we are truly understanding that we are transitioning into a new life. From a spiritual perspective, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, now first, Notice that phrase, into Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We're coming into Christ. And in baptism, we are dying to the old lifestyle of sin, and we are, as we are buried in the waters of baptism, that means immersed in those waters. That's what baptism really is, true baptism. We are buried with him in baptism, and as we come up out of those waters of baptism, we have been reborn spiritually to walk a new life, resurrected with him from a spiritual perspective, to walk a new life, a Christian life, a life of faithfulness and dedication to him. So that's a transition from the old life of sin to a new life of forgiveness and salvation and looking forward to eternal life in Christ. We need to make sure we understand at least the basis of that. Now, some people, again, and we talked about this, they come to a point where they recognize, yeah, I need to become a Christian, I need to be baptized into Christ, but they never, after that point, they never really give proper and consistent attention to growing in their faith. And so they never develop that spiritual strength to stay faithful and dedicated on a consistent basis. So I need to give proper attention. Now again, what do we keep emphasizing here in today's Bible class in regards to our faith and God's Word? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Why do we keep emphasizing that today's Bible class studies every single day of the week are intended to help us be strong in our faith? Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we need to be a continual student of God's Word. We never get to the point where we say, I got it all. I know it all. From Genesis 1 to Revelation, amen. And I have been studying God's Word in a deep way for a great many years. I still keep learning points that I had not fully recognized as I continue to study through his Word. It is so rich. It is so deep. It is so wonderful and instructive. Now, some people, they give in to cultural pressure around them. They give in to peer pressure. And so they end up just taking the easier course and going along, getting involved in some of the sinful practices and lifestyles that people around them, friends, other family members, people at work and so on that they're involved in, they get involved in that. When I was just a young man working in the grocery business in the city of Chicago, I still remember we had a security guard who was a Chicago policeman, and he worked part-time off duty for the store. And I remember he came up to me one day and he said, you know, and these were close to the words, this is certainly the sentiment, he said, you know, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't mess around with women. I was married at that time. He said, what do you do for fun? I had lots of fun. I didn't have to put my soul in jeopardy to have fun. And I watched him one time in the open. Now, he was married and had children, I believe. And he was an older man. I'm not talking about, you know, elderly, but he was much older than this young woman who worked with me behind the counter. And they flirted back and forth. And finally, he just kissed her right there. And she kissed him right in the open. And I thought, what are you doing? You're married, and you're putting your marriage in jeopardy by the way you're acting right now. Well, some people, they give in to the social pressures, the cultural pressures, the temptations of their peers and their family who are not Christians, and they give in. They become sinful themselves. Some give in to persecution because there's persecution out there against Christians. Sometimes it's verbal. Sometimes it can become even physical. but it's getting worse and worse in our country. Some people are overtaken in a fault. Now, going back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul said, he's writing this to the Christians in Galatia, he's talking about some within the congregation who maybe had already taken this course, or some who could if they gave in to some temptations. He said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And so some people, they get involved in some sinful practice that they seem to just virtually lose control over. I worked with a young man one time who was a member of the Lord's church. He had become involved in an adulterous relationship with another woman. He was married, and he was now having an affair with another woman. And it became known to his wife. And so, from an outward perspective, he was trying to make his marriage right. But he told me privately one day, "You don't understand," talking about the woman with whom he was having the affair. I said, "You can overcome this. God will help you." He said, "You don't understand. If I could be with her right now, I would be with her." See, he had not yet made up his mind fully. So some people, they get caught up in some sinful practice that they just give into, and it seems almost to overwhelm them, and they lose control of themselves. Well, they've got to come back and take control. They've got to repent. Repent means a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior, of lifestyle. Someone who has gone back into the ways of the world needs to come back out of the ways of the world. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. A person who has lost the zeal and interest that characterized his life when he first became a Christian, he needs to come back to that zeal. He needs to start focusing upon that interest again, Revelation 3 and verse 16. A person who has gone backward instead of forward in their spiritual lives, in their spiritual direction, they need to turn it around, check their compass again, Revelation 2 and verse 4, and Ephesians 6 and verse 24. You know, there are four Old Testament words translated backslider and backsliding. Proverbs 14 and verse 14, to flinch, to retreat. Jeremiah 8 and verse 5, a turning away. Jeremiah 3 and verse 14, rebellious. And to the act of a refractory, untractable heifer that turns backwards or sideways and cannot be made to go forward. We're talking about an animal here. And it's applied from that perspective. Hosea 4 and verse 16. Some people just simply get distracted from the worldliness that is so apparent all around them. They get distracted from their focus on God and Christ and their Christian lives. And before they realize it, they have gotten off course. Again, the devil doesn't have to turn you into an atheist for you to be lost, for you to go to lose your salvation, for you to fall from the grace of God. He just has to get you to become unfaithful. And he can throw all kinds of distractions at you that can contribute to that process that he is trying to effect in your life. The devil's smart. He's cunning. He's your enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. We'd like to help you. You can contact us. We'll be glad to sit and talk with you by phone or through email. We'd be glad to send you a free Bible study. You can contact us through our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the email link, or you can phone us at 402-498-8397, 402-498-8397. Keep from falling. Let's pray. Father, help us to be strong and to stay steadfast in our faith and faithfulness. Help us to keep from falling. and help us to be an example to others around us. Please forgive us, gracious Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.